My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Johnny, your takeaways from Keon, his first training camp practice, got involved early and often, that great catch near the pylon, just your overall impressions on a good first day.
Yeah, I think you can see the work that he put in, you know, the last month. It was important to him not just to get away and just enjoy a summer. You know, he took it upon himself to, hey, make sure he's still working on his craft, and, you know, had some opportunities yesterday and kind of made the most of them. And, you know, I think that kind of just kind of shows who he is. So it's just a matter of just consistency, right? And, you know, you can have one day, but can you follow it up? And I think that's what you got to do to be a great receiver, great player. So excited to see him today.
Hey, Joe, tough slim for Dawson last year, injury-wise. He's up to full strength. What kind of options does he give you?
I mean, he's huge for our offense. He does so much in from a leadership standpoint, just him being around, but just him in the pass game. He's such a unique skill set with what he can do as a receiver, and just seeing the growth that he's put with Coach Boris in the run game. You know, he's a complete tight end, so just having him, Dalton, Q, just the versatility that we have, it gives us a lot of options. So, you know, it hurt us not having him last year, so I'm excited to see him kind of moving around in full speed. He's a huge asset for us.
Hey, Joe, in terms of James Cook last year, heavy workload, more than he's ever had in, you know, going back probably to high school. Is that a concern at all moving forward? And he had, like, over 300 touches counted in playoffs.
No. I think, look, sometimes it's a benefit, especially in college when they don't have a crazy workload, because, you know, that's wear and tear on your body, whether you're carrying the ball in high school or college. Sometimes it's like, hey, they can be a workhorse back, whatever that might mean, but that's a lot of touches and hits that they put on them in college. I think, you know, we'll see how Jimbo goes, but, you know, when you look at Jimbo, I think I said it in spring, he looks different. He's stronger. He's more put together. You can tell he put in a lot of work. It's important to him, and so I'm excited to just can see him to continue to evolve and get better.
Joey, when you talked about this being Josh Allen's playbook, not my playbook, how over the years have you seen him take ownership of it, and especially this year with all the new people that have to be introduced to it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the first training camp I was here, I was trying to figure it all out, you know, and sometimes I'm asking him just what he's thinking, and so you kind of you see how much he's maturing in the offense in terms of the ownership of just teaching the guys exactly what he's seeing, and not just, hey, I know where that guy's going to be, I'm going to throw it to him, but like, hey, guys, this is what I'm thinking. Let's stop the tape. This is where my feet are. You got to be at this spot because of that. And just seeing that growth where I can kind of take a step back and allow him to communicate a lot more. I mean, it's been a lot of fun, and he kind of has to do that because we – you know, we had a lot of receivers in the past that have played in this offense and kind of already knew those things. And so it's been a lot of fun just seeing him just kind of take that and kind of roll with it and understand how important it is that we do have new guys and that it's important for them to understand what he's thinking, not just running a play. Because at the end of the day, they're the ones out there doing it. And so that's what I love about training camp. That's what I love about being here is he's with those guys at all times, and they're just – they're attached to his hip, and it's fun to watch.
You took over with 8 games last year to go. You can't install a whole new offense, obviously, and have some things that carry over. And now you've had kind of a full offseason without giving away strategy, of course. How much can carry over? How much is new? Is it a complete overhaul maybe of a year ago, or is there a lot of mixed in stuff?
I think no matter what, whether you're from year to year, you know, the game of football is growing. And if you continue to do the same thing over and over, well, we're all studying each other. The defenses are evolving. Eventually, you know, it's going to hit a point. And so I think regardless if you're the best offense in the league, in order to stay the best offense in the league, you got to continue to grow and evolve. And you get new pieces. And so the offense has to change regardless. And so it was a great opportunity for us to kind of take a step back and figure out exactly who we have and try to build an offense around that. You know, we signed a lot of pieces in free agency and then in the draft of then trying to mix and match and put them all together. And, you know, and so we're still a product of it. We got, you know, all training camp to kind of see kind of exactly who we're going to be and put guys in places and see, hey, can we do this? Can this be something that will be a huge part of us? Or is this something, hey, you know what, maybe this kind of goes down the road and we got to focus on something else. And so every day there's intention behind what we're doing, and whether it works or doesn't, that's not the, I'm not concerned with the results right now. I'm just concerned with kind of like how we're doing it. And so it's been a lot exciting. I know that doesn't give you much, but you guys were able to see a little bit.
Yesterday, Josh talked about downfield passes for you in Carolina. He was used a lot more as a possession receiver in Washington. I mean, when we ask who does the defense have to respect downfield, you see among the receiving corps, Samuel, a guy you think they might, that could threaten them?
I mean, I think you have to respect everybody. I don't think speed is the only thing that impacts whether defenses are worried about guys going downfield. If you look across the league, there's certain guys, like a 40 time doesn't necessarily tell you if you're a downfield threat or not. Size sometimes plays into factor of that. What type of route you actually can run, how you track a football. There's so many more things than just speed elements to it. And so I feel confident in the receiver room that we have the ability to stretch the field if we want. The guys be able to go up with footballs if we have to. And so not necessarily just Curtis, but I feel excited about the rest of the room.
Yesterday, Josh talked about the intelligence of the wide receiver room, and he even brought up how much motion you guys ran on day one, and it seemed like he was almost talking about how you almost force feeding some of the new guys. Is there a sense of that, needing to get these new guys up to speed a lot quicker than maybe in the past?
No, there's always an urgency, right? This is the NFL, but I'm the big believer, and there's a reason the guys that we have in here, the character, the intelligence that you kind of talk about, that was a big reason they're here. And so you're able to do those things because of the personnel that you have. And I think it's important. I want guys to mess up now. Like, there might be times where we mess up in practice and I have a smile on my face, and I know that's such an awful mindset, but I want the guys to be okay with failing because it's an opportunity for us to learn. But if everything always just goes well, then sometimes we're not learning as much watching tape. And so if you put a lot on their plate, not too much, you know, and so that's a struggle that I always have. It's like, hey, what's the fine line? But I think if you put a lot on their plate, it really puts a lot of onus on them of making sure, hey, I'm the attention to detail, like, hey, can I handle it? Because it's such a new room. This is tight ends, receivers, running backs speaking. It's all new. And if it's important to them and they can show that they can handle it, they can play, because you're going to earn every rep. And so, you know, I was pleased with seeing how the guys were able to operate and communicate yesterday.
Hey, Joe, you talk about failure, but success. We saw yesterday guys celebrating when they score. I think Josh even mentioned that something. What's your philosophy on that? I mean, it's practice. You're going against your team. But when you have success, touchdowns and all that, guys embracing the success that you have during practice.
Yeah, it's – you know, I grew up, and there was times where it was like, hey, act like you've been there before. And so I completely understand that. But, man, football's hard. It's hard. You can be the best offense in the NFL going against the 32nd ranked team, and it's still going to be hard to score. Like, that's just the reality of it. This is the NFL. And when you score touchdowns, it's not just one person scoring that touchdown. It took a whole drive, or it took 11 people. And so part of what I'm trying to emphasize here, what Coach McDermott's trying to emphasize, we have a lot of new guys, but us doing it all together. And if we really emphasize that everyone eats mindset, is you can see when people score, are we celebrating together? You know, yesterday, you know, you're scoring some touchdowns and you're seeing James Cook on a passing touchdown. James Cook, Deion, Josh are the first ones there celebrating. Well, that speaks so loudly to me. And so seeing those guys celebrate, having fun, you know, it's a red zone practice. There should be a good amount of touchdowns, right? It's a little different when it's a first and second down day or whatnot. But just really put an point of emphasis with it. I remember when I took over last year, the first red zone practice we had that week of the Jets week, I mean, I think our O-line was gassed for the amount that I was making them kind of run to go celebrate with the guys. And, You know, you saw that first game, Khalil scoring or Ty Johnson scoring, and just seeing those guys run and celebrate with them, and it's important. And it might not look like it, but I think it is. And you want to see the type of team that you're going to have, see how the guys respond when guys score. If they really believe in the everyone eats mindset, see how everybody looks when they score. And so just day one, but pleased with some of that. As long as they're doing it together. This isn't, you know, we had a couple TikTok dances that I don't know about that I wasn't too much of a fan of, but yeah.
Which is your favorite celebration?
My favorite celebration is whenever I prefer offensive line getting the spikes. And you know you always grade a good spike if the ball leaves the screen. So you guys don't necessarily get to see that, but that's my favorite ones. The O-line are the reason we're scoring touchdowns. When they're doing it, let's give them some love, and then we can they can have a little fun watching it as well.
Hey, Joe, in your coaching career, either play caller or other roles, during these first couple weeks of fall camp, how often do you run something so well that night you red check mark and say, I want to get to this in football?
I think you're, to me, it's, you never get enough reps, right? It's just a reality. You can walk through stuff. To me, it's all about frequency. It's even if it's just routes, you know, you're never going to get enough time on task. And it's not about in order to get good at a play or a route, it's about how many times you run it. So even if it works against, you know, one look or one coverage, it's like, man, I hope the next time we get this, we get a bad look and Josh has to make another decision or whatnot. So I think your core concepts, but I'm not thinking about, you know, week one, week two right now. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what can be our core concepts that we can kind of roll with and hope that, hey, we're not always throwing our first progression, and just seeing the comfort level of the quarterbacks having to make decisions moving across, and where they feel comfortable with the play, just not the first read.
Hey, Joe, in this camp, at least, or OTAs also, and a need to get Dalton Kincaid downfield more than last year. There was a lot of stuff close to the line last year, and he's got that talent to get down the seam. Are you trying to devise ways to get him more involved down the field?
Right now, we're kind of in the process of just trying to see what all of our guys can do. You know, and just their different skill sets. It's such a... I'm so excited about the group that we have, the tight ends and the receivers, because it's so many different skill sets, and you hope that versatility allows it to play a little harder on defenses to defend of, hey, this guy can run short, but he also can push vertical, and it's not only certain guys doing certain things. And so I think you guys saw a couple yesterday of just seeing Dalton do some things going vertical. We know we saw that he can do that last year, and so something that I hope for all of our guys, you know, that's a part of their repertoire.
Early on, what's been the experience competing not only against the defense but Bobby and his new role, both of you guys trying to assert yourselves in different ways on your side of the ball, when a guy who brings that much energy on the other side, what's it like competing against his unit?
We're going to be the offense that we want to be because of our defense. They make us better, they challenge us, and Bobby, me and Bobby go at it. I love it on tape, you know, when, you know, in a red zone period, when right after a play he has to look at his next script because it didn't go well for him. You know, we're naturally competitive, right? And I know it's such a stupid thing because I'm not doing a thing besides reading a play. That's what I do at practice, right? Real tough. There's a reason he's a defensive coordinator, man, being able to pick his brain. But just what our defense does, it really challenges us. And I think sometimes people think it's a simple scheme, but there's a reason it's had so much success for so many years. And a big reason why our offense has been what we've been is because of our defense.
Can you match his colorful language, or do you find yourself having to match how colorful he is out there on the practice field as far as language?
Well, I got sent a video of me mic'd up one day, and there was a lot of beeps, and so I wasn't too pleased of that, you know, with that, and so I catch myself. I'm not proud of my colorful language, but I am competitive. I wasn't a very good football player, but I get out there, I get excited, and I wish I can be a little better about it, but it does naturally come out.
Keon is a prototypical X, obviously. You like your receivers to be versatile. Is it too much to ask? Do you envision him eventually, you know, being able to be used in different spots like Gabe was?
Yeah, we don't have positions. You know, I think in order, you know, the way that we taught the offense, we just taught everything conceptually. These are three-man concepts. These are two-man concepts. These are full-field progressions. And so if I ask the guy, hey, what do you have on this play? They should be asking me, well, what's the formation? What position am I playing on that play? Not like, hey, I'm the X, so I have this. And so it really forces the guys to understand, like, hey, on any given moment, you know, you can be on any of these spots and you got to know it. And formationally, we can change it, move it around. So that was a big thing, a big point of emphasis. I don't want the guys memorizing a play and what they have, that specific route. They got to know it all. So that's been a big point.
Joe, what do you need to see from Khalil Shakir from early part of his training camp this season to kind of show he's taken that next step and evolving into this offense?
The last 10 games of the season, you know. Khalil Shakir is, you know, as consistent as they come. And, you know, a big thing I told him is, like, I don't need him to feel like he needs to do anything more. He doesn't. You know, just continue being Khalil Shakir. His consistency as a wide receiver, you know, he speaks so loudly to the quarterbacks, the way that he runs routes and just continues to make plays. And Josh has the utmost confidence in him. So I don't need him to do anything else besides be Khalil Shakir and just continue to stack the days like he does on a consistent basis.
Behind James, you have quite a few guys battling for spots. What do you look for, like, to kind of separate at the end of the day? They're all going to do their job, but from pass protection to route concepts to be able to do versatility, short yardage, what do you look for when it comes to separating those guys?
You're saying for the running backs?
Yes, behind James.
You know, the reality of it with a lot of this stuff is, like, right now we're still in just helmets. You know, like, football's played in pads. You know, I can say the same thing with the wide receivers. Like, when the pads come on, I want to be able to see who plays with size and who plays with pads on. Same thing with the running backs, right? And you want to be able to have complete running backs that can be able to play, you know, run out of the back and make run the football first and foremost, and then be able to make plays out of the backfield and protect where, hey, when certain guys aren't on the field, defenses know what's kind of happening. And, you know, so that's a big point. Everyone's going to have to earn it, but to me, specifically with the running backs, like, I just want to be able to see how they play with the pads come on. And I know that's such a, you know, a cop-out answer, but that's an important thing for me. And I know it's throughout everybody, like, I know the results I'm kind of talking about, but, like, I'm a big proponent of just because we had success on a player, just because they did it right, if it's not the way that we're asking of it, we're not going to be like, hey, good job. And then when they do the exact same thing and it doesn't go wrong, we're correcting it. And so really just trying to harp on the how right now with the guys. And so it might be a one-on-one rep that a guy loses, and it was my favorite rep in practice because he tried working some of the technique that, you know, we're trying to preach that's going to allow him to ultimately have success in the long run. But he might have lost that rep, and it might look like, man, I lost the rep. Well, if you do the way that you might have won the rep but the wrong technique, eventually it's not going to work. And so that's a big thing that we're kind of working on. And with the running back room, when the pads come on and pass pro is, you know, some of it you don't do in college for some of the young guys. Now, I know we drafted some that obviously had to do it, but that's always the thing when the pads come on is seeing how those guys kind of respond with it and to our technique and how we kind of do it. And as long as they're working that, that's what I'm more concerned with than the results of how it kind of works.
Two more.
Offense building trust with each other, feeling comfortable around each other, building chemistry, whether it's on the field, in the meeting room, or off the field, what do you want to see out of this group over the next 2 weeks?
You know, we kind of started this back, you know, the first meeting we talked about in the offseason training, like, I really believe when it's, you know, when we're playing, you know, with an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl and it's the last drive of the game, and Bill Walsh talked it, you know, way back when of, you know, when Josh gets in the huddle and he looks around and there's 10 other guys in there and they're all looking at each other, you know, they're playing because they love one another and they're playing, you know, not just with each other, but they're playing for one another. And in order, that's going to have success. Well, you do that because you build it from the offseason to training camp, and those guys taking upon themselves to go to Nashville or do things together. That's what I think is so much, it's so much more than just what you guys see on the football field. And that's what we're trying to promote here, is that intentionality about not just being around the guys, but being about the guys, because we enjoy being around our guys and we love our guys, and then we're going to do whatever we can so that he has success. And I think that leads to success. And so that's a big thing that we're kind of preaching here, is making sure that you're with your guys, your boys, and doing everything you can together. And I think that leads to success.
Joe, what's it been like getting to know a little bit more about Mac Hollins? Interesting personality, the no shoes, no utensils. What's it kind of been like getting to know him?
He's one of my favorite players. Honestly, probably one of my favorite people I've ever met. You know, like, he's, you know, he's I'm becoming more grounded because of him. You know, started walking around barefoot yesterday. You know, and you look around, there's 10 other guys barefoot, right? And so, but that kind of speaks to who he is. Like, guys want to follow him. You know, he's the first one up here yesterday. You know, he was here before the strength coach. You know, he's out here working, you know, dripping in sweat. It's 5 a.m. After practice, you guys see, he just doesn't want to stop. He just goes. So much energy. I love his style of play, the way that he plays, but his personality, man, it's so fun. And we really embrace that here in Buffalo. Like, we want guys to be themselves. And I hope the city of Buffalo enjoys him walking out in the snow barefoot. I don't know if that's gonna be a good idea. He hasn't really had to experience that yet, but just embrace, you know, the city of Buffalo does a great job in this organization, embraces, you know, the guys for who they are. And Matt Collins is gonna be a stud for us, both on the field and off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.